Are you good? Are you good, my guy?
Like a cockroach on my desk that like ran out from under my keyboard.
That's shit. That is gross.
Kill it. Kill it with fire. Can't wait for all the duck noises.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Arcade Cozy, episode 10. This is episode 10, and you, by listening, are a part of the coziest game room on the internet. My name is Chris.
My name is Corey.
And like I said, Mr. Corey, we have hit double digits. We are at
double digits.
Yeah. How does it feel?
It feels pretty good. I mean, that's two full hands right there, you know?
It is two full hands. I mean, at this point, how are we? I mean, we're going to have to start using feet or just...
Okay, you know. No.
Break out those calculators and come at it, but...
Double digits. It feels really double good. That is how it feels.
It does. I feel like it's an accomplishment, and we are celebrating this accomplishment today, Mr. Corey, with some good video games, like we do every single week. Does that make it? Does that make it even better? Just having fun.
We're having fun.
Talking about the good stuff.
This week's is a real good stuff of a pod episode week game.
Pod episodes? Yeah.
No, for episode 10, this feels like a good one to hit the double digit with. And I'm really excited to kind of dig into it because there, as Shrek once said, you know, it's like an onion. There's layers to it.
You got to peel them back. But, yeah. Know what you're getting.
And
which is a bad layer, which is like one of those really thick layers that's kind of weird and you don't necessarily want to use it. And
which one's same the thing layer for that like the really cry. Thin ones. Oh, wait, that's all of them?
Yeah. Then there are the really thin ones that are like film almost. And it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's to say this is one of the good ones. This is like this is the onion that you put on a burger and you just love it.
Yeah.
Like it just is the, but you know, not to continue beating around the bush, Corey, but, we're leading into it. What game are we talking about this week? What's the big heavy hitter, the number one sitting on episode number 10?
This week, we are talking Kena, Bridge of Spirits, which I would say is arguably the coziest game we have talked about this year, outside of maybe Ni No Kuni, but I would supplant it over it.
So, I feel like it's worth kind of mentioning, I guess, what Kena is, because, you know, if you're not really up on Sony's whole circuit, you may kind of not really be aware of it, but it's a Sony exclusive that was shown off last year during their, I think during their initial like PS5 initial reveal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is very kind of Princess Mononoke Ghibli-esque in like tone and look. But plays very much like a game from 2002. Like, has a lot of vibes of early PS2 era type platformers, action games. And also just, I mean, in general, the company that made it, Ember Labs, they're, you know, I think it's a team of like former animators, visual effects artists. And so like, you know, it has very high production values and has very like Disney-esque quality in, you know,
it's gorgeous.
I mean, it is a lot of, in a lot of ways, both in like the Disney comparison, the Ghibli comparison, the nostalgic angle. Yeah. I mean, it is cozy to a T. I mean, it is a game that, not to bury the lead, but I mean, I love it. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Love
it. It's a gem. I love it as well.
Yeah,
it is.
It has been a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, has been, it's somber and deals with some like heavier mm-hmm. subject matter at points, but like, yeah, legitimately is just kind of a joyful game. You know, it's something else, but, you've enjoyed it, Corey?
Oh yeah. I love it. I think to kind of just like dive in a little bit off of the top, I feel like it was a game made for people who started out like PS1, PS2, and have been consistently playing games since then. It is, I think someone described it last week as like new nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because it has those action puzzle platformer elements, but also you talked about it with the, it deals with some heavy subject matter.
Yep.
That I feel like a lot of people have grown up and kind of experienced, and she walks them like through their grief, their trauma, and like helps them heal from that and move on. But the game doesn't hold your hand in that, and doesn't hold your hand in combat either. It's like, you've been around the block, you know what you're doing. We're going to get at it. And it's a delight. I love it.
It is.
It feels as if it was made for me. Now imagine a lot of people playing it feel that exact same way, who are kind of in the same age range that we are.
Yeah. And it's funny. I mean, it's not like there've been just a ton of these, but you know, it does kind of feel like we're getting to a point where that is the kind of like nostalgic aim for new developers who are looking to make something that scratches the nostalgia bone. Because I mean, you go back like 10 years, I mean, even still recently, I mean, you're having these releases, but like, you know, when you started seeing indie games making like NES, SNES like titles, you know, games mm-hmm. like Shovel Knight and Axiom Verge and these games that were like really drawing influence on games from like the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, we're seeing some kind of drawing from the early like PS1 and 64 days with like Yooka-Laylee and stuff. But I think we've seen like Psychonauts come back. We're seeing mm-hmm. Kena mm-hmm. with this. It definitely does seem like, you know, I mean, it's been 20 years since like you've had your early Ratchet and Clanks and your Jak and Daxters mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like it's, you know, the people who were born that year, or, you know, back up a little bit, people who may have been playing games like that as their first games, you know, they're in their mid 20s now, early to mid 20s. It's, you know, yeah, I mean, that's nostalgia for them. Mm-hmm. And so it definitely does seem like a game that's aimed at being like, maybe not the same kind of like Saturday morning cartoon junk food that like a Ratchet and Clank or something is, but definitely kind of scratches that itch of being like the warm, fuzzy Disney in that sense.
It gives me big Sunday afternoon before I go back to school at the end of summer vibes.
Okay.
It's just
as
like
in this. What was on TV on a Sunday afternoon, or just the feeling of what a Sunday in
more
the
just a feeling,
like.
And I think that's what, you know, I feel like as a kid on Saturdays, like, you know, your parents are always trying to like get you outside, and like at least, you know, back then it was, you know, get outside, go play, you know, t-ball games, basketball, soccer, stuff like that's going on. And, you know, I'd play games late at night, but Sunday I grew up in a very religious household. So it was like going to church on Sunday mornings, and in the afternoon, there was nothing to do. So it was just gaming. And it was just like, how do I get the most of these next, you know, 8-ish hours? And that's what this game feels like, because game's roughly like 9-10 hours, I think. It's pretty tight, pretty short game.
And
it feels like something I could turn on at like 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and be done by like 10. But
the pacing to me feels spot on. Like it mm-hmm. feels like the game is very comfortable at being Like, so, you know, the structure to the game is not anything surprising. Like, even as you're playing it, it's very much like, go to this area, there's a spirit.
Before we go a little farther, what is Kena, Chris? What is Kena Bridge of Spirits? Tell our listeners about it.
Like, what is the story or what is
what
the,
is the
like,
synopsis of it as we set out?
I mean, basically, you know, you kind of mentioned a little bit, but Kena, the character, is a spirit guide who, you know, in this role, she's essentially kind of like visiting. She's trying to solve this corruption that's kind of taken over this part of the forest. And to actually accomplish that, this village, this kind of like section of, you know, you don't know necessarily the wider world, but you're assuming like she's traveled from far away and this village is not somewhere that she's familiar with. But to kind of accomplish that, she's having to interact with other like spirits and like help them solve unresolved issues, unresolved guilt or feelings or, you know, whatever, loss and tragedy. And so the structure very much is, you know, you're going to an area, there's kind of like a core little arc there of a character who has gone through something and you're kind of piecing this together. You're, you know, getting memories that are kind of cluing you into this is the thing that kind of led them to this, or this is the thing that they lost during this. This is why they're suffering in this way. And then you're solving that. You're completing that arc and then moving on. And at least, I mean, you and I both, to our the best of our knowledge, pretty close to the end of the game, at least from how it's presented itself. And it doesn't really deviate from that. It's very... like, it's very kind of formulaic and go to an area, learn a new skill, memory, solve this whole kind of thread, another area. Like, and it's very, it is very like early PS2 in that style thing. But in my opinion, like it has been, it's very comfortable being that. It's not trying to like pad it out and make it this 20-30-40 hour experience just because that's what like a modern game would expect it to be. It's very much just like, okay, well, I mean, that's what that's if we were making Kena 20 years ago, that's what we do. This is the story that we want to tell. And there's something admirable about it because like I being close to the end of the game, like I don't feel like I've been exhausted with it at any point. I don't feel like it's overstayed its welcome. I don't feel like I'm sitting there just like, okay, let's get on with it. Let's move on. Let's, you know, do this. It's dry. Like I'm engaged. I'm interested. It feels like in the moment that I'm feeling like things should start moving on, they do. And, I mean, I'm liking it a ton. I think it's great.
Same. I mean, I think it doesn't reinvent the wheel. It doesn't, you know, make a new sliced bread, but it does it so well. You know, it clicks, firing on all cylinders as you go. It is very moving as you encounter the spirits who have been left behind as the forest village has been like overrun with this, I guess, corruption and disease.
Yep.
And these people's spirits and grief have like clung to the areas as essentially like ghost haunting areas would. And Kena, as you playing as Kena, as like this spirit guide helping them resolve their issues so they can move on, is it's really sad because, like, you know, I feel like I have, many of us have all been in similar situations where, as these characters have been, where we're struggling to move past, like, oh, if only I had done this, or this fixation, like, over, like, you know, just overran my emotions. If only, you know, I feel like so many of us have been there, and it's wonderful to see and kind of be in, like, the shoes of Kena. She's helping guide and, like, ease these spirits on, and it's tragic, but it's also so hopeful as you see, even like after they have gone and as their spirits are now in rest, like the land has moved into a place of healing. The corruption's gone and you see the rebirth of this beautiful, the game's gorgeous, graphics are stunning.
Yeah.
How the environment changes on like a dime is mind blowing.
Yeah.
And it's incredible to see as you move forward, just the world just go green again, blossom. And I love it. It's really, really good. It makes me feel a lot of feelings.
Yeah. And it's definitely, I mean, you know, we were talking about Deathloop a little bit over the last few weeks. You know, Deathloop is very unique in like what it is trying to be. Like, it's telling a different kind of story. It's doing like new thing. And that's something to get really excited about. And Kena isn't doing that. Like, it's not doing a bunch of new stuff and like really, you know, like you said, reinventing the wheel. It's doing what it's wanting to do very well. And it's telling a story that uses, you know, a lot of themes and tropes and stuff that are not uncommon. But it still does have a very like haunting quality, because it is in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you know, Kena has her own stuff going on. She's kind of channeling it through these spirits who are going through their thing. And like, it's kind of this healing through healing sort of mentality. And I mean, it does have this, I wouldn't say necessarily like grown up nature about it, but it does have this feeling where it's like for people who would appreciate a game like this, you know, they're at the point now in their life where some of these questions may be more relevant. Like, they have felt loss and they have felt kind of like regret or unquitted feelings or, you know, whatever. Like, they may have things in their lives that are loose ends, and like seeing this bit of nostalgia meet with some big adult feelings and questions, I think is like a really, like, it melds very well.
I agree. And I'm going to kind of segue into this part of the game with kind of, I've said this game feels made for me. It feels made for people kind of in our age range. The game looks like it's made for children.
It does. Yeah.
There
yeah.
are these cute little like Pikmin or I can't think of a better way to describe them, but they're called Rot. There's these adorable little creatures that you find throughout the world who are also, to my understanding, like spirits who have also passed on.
They're very much like, kind of going off the Ghibli comparison, they're very much like sprites and like, you know, with that, where they're, I mean, even like aesthetically, just small black spirits from the forest that like, there are tons of them. They're, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And they follow you all around. They wear cute little hats. you can, so there's not a ton to find it in this game as you explore. It's mainly just chest where you can get this currency to buy hats or it's hats. Those are really the only two things that
they're currency to buy hats, or it is a hat that you can then buy.
That you can then buy more of.
You don't get the hat. You have to buy that hat then.
There's so many different hats. My favorite is the cowboy hat. So I have so many of them just like wearing the cowboy hat. It's adorable. It's precious.
Yeah. But it's funny because there's a like there's the split between nature oriented, like it's a pine cone or it's a mushroom, or like story focused, where it's like a copy of a mask from a spirit, or it's a cowboy hat and a baseball hat. I have a dinosaur hat.
Yeah.
A unicorn hat.
It's wacky. So, I love it. But all that's to say, when you look at it, and then I imagine what this 7-year-old kid who's playing this game all of a sudden comes against the first like wood knight, because this game is, you know, future or I was gonna say future nostalgia, you know, the Dua Lipa album, new nostalgia. it is, you know, that PS2 action adventure. There's puzzles. One thing we forgot to mention is that it has a splash of Dark Souls, because
it does.
These boss fights, the regular fights are very manageable. I think you can, you know, just light attack and heavy attack your way through them. But the boss fights, it's tough. It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is very difficult. That is me saying it is difficult. It is a Dark Souls boss fight. There's one. I mean, there's a ton of them. There's one that has like this shield up the whole time. Yep. And I'm just sitting here. You get a bomb a little ways into the game. And I'm just like, just chucking this bomb and shooting it over and over him at this giant shield. Because I have no idea of how to like actually physically hurt him.
Yep.
It's tough. And I can I can only imagine this 7-year-old crying because he can't beat the first boss. And their parent comes in and like, this game is scary and tough because it goes from like super cute, fun green grass to like these like glowing, pulsing like red eggs and like withered vines and trees to all of a sudden this like spirit forms and is like trying to decapitate you, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's shockingly difficult for like the game that it seems like it's going to be, which, I mean, to its credit, like they do have, I think the lowest difficulty is like labeled as a story mode, mm-hmm. which, I mean, neither of us are playing on that, but I would mm-hmm. imagine is kind of aimed to be very much like you just want to experience the story, you want to go through it. And so, you know, I'm sure that there is, even though there aren't like accessibility sliders and things like that you may see in some modern games, it does at least have, like, unlike a Dark Souls, does have difficulty levels that do allow for people mm-hmm. who aren't interested in like very difficult. But yeah, I mean, it is, and it's strange because, you know, in a way I feel like it's not Dark Souls, because Dark Souls is so ubiquitous now mm-hmm. and has become this noun of like, these are games that are like this hard game. But I feel like that kind of was born out of games kind of drifting more and more toward just easy and more just kind of like simple mechanics, being able to just kind of like brute force your way through things. And Dark Souls like took this approach, like, yeah, they were very punishing, almost to like a punitive degree, where it was like, we're just going to make you suffer just because, like, we're going to be masochistic and we're just, you know, but like the big focus with them kind of drawing back to old gameplay focuses of like, if you got a new skill, for instance, like, you better know that this boss is going to require you to how to use that skill. And like Kena, and I feel like that's the big thing. Like, that's the, Kena has some, like, the boss fights are tough and they do have a little bit of that like Dark Souls energy, but I feel like the big thing is that they just really do embrace that old school ideology of, in this area, you're getting this new weapon and you're like piddling with it and using it for puzzles and doing all this kind of stuff. But then when you get to the boss, it's like, okay, I hope you know how to use this weapon, because if you don't, you're not beating this boss. And that's kind of the approach that they take, which, like, you look at like old Mega Man games and they were like that. It was very much like, you beat this boss, you get this new weapon, you go up against this other boss, you basically have to like use that weapon or you're not going to beat him, basically. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, and you would have games like that where you had to have like a very fine understanding of what you were playing with. And I feel like a lot of games have kind of gotten away from that. It is very much, to kind of harken back to the game that we mentioned earlier, you know, Ratchet and Clank is kind of like that, where there isn't a gun that's specific for specific situations. It's just all the guns, it's any like, of
here,
the guns.
Have it. Go crazy. Like, go stupid.
Right. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but like Kena really does, like, in all aspects, take that approach to heart, where they do kind of want to adopt some of those, you know, and I've heard some criticisms that it's like, you know, in some of the platforming and in some of those elements, like, it does that to its detriment. Like, it chooses to be a little bit more archaic in like the way that it handles certain things. But you know, at the same time, like I think there's a place for it. Obviously, like I haven't heard, you know, I've seen positive reviews and I've seen like positive things, but like there hasn't been a ton of excitement about Kena. But you know, I'm with Ratchet and Clank doing as well as it did, with Psychonauts doing as well as it has, with this coming out, like I think there is a place for games that do just kind of adopt this nostalgia, like this early 2000s mentality and refining it. Which, I mean, you know, that's what nostalgia is. It's just, mullets are coming back. Chokers.
They shouldn't.
Corey, chokers are in. I know
chokers are in. Yes.
Yeah.
That is a thing.
As an aside, I learned not too long ago that chokers were in, and it terrified me.
Yeah.
Because chokers to me are not only like quintessential 90s.
Yeah.
Like accessory, but they're horrific. Like they just, I think they are like a tragedy of fashion.
Wow.
I say as a fashion magnate.
Yeah.
I recently learned that they were like a thing again, and I'm seeing people wear them, and I'm like, what in the world?
I mean, the whole 90s aesthetic is back in, and you know,
I think there's so many good things about the 90s aesthetic, and they're, some people just pick the wrong parts of the 90s aesthetic to lean into, and mullets and chokers are two of the wrong things. I will tell you what.
I mean, my opinion, you know, wear what you wear, be comfortable. If you want a mullet, you know, my thoughts are maybe ask someone else's opinion to see if they correct you. But other than that, you know, kind of go for it, you know, do your thing.
No, Corey, this is not a everybody can do what they want. No, we have strong opinions here. These are hills that we die on. We don't die on the,
you should not have a mullet. A mullet is a really, really bad idea.
No, you do, listener, be the you that you want to be. Just don't wear a choker. It's dumb. It's not you. It's pick something else.
Chokers give huge main character energy. So you really have to ask yourself, are you a main character or are you an NPC? You know?
Yeah. Are you a Sora? Do you have that longevity to go 20 years to solve your main quest?
With only three games. Yes, there's like 12, 13, maybe 20 games, but you know, we don't count Data Sora.
We don't count any of them, basically. But yeah, I mean, I'm really enjoying Kena.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I was surprised to be enjoying it, because I was really interested in it when I saw it, but I mean, nothing about it. Like, I feel like a lot of games like this do start to drag or do start to kind of overstay their welcome, and it just hasn't. Like, it's just been a joy. It's been fun. It's been like, it just, the music's great. The art's great.
We haven't even talked about the music, Chris.
Yeah, the music is wonderful.
The little like main theme that plays while you're in the like, so I don't think we touched on too much, but there is a central hub area of the heart of the village where you're at. And then then from there you kind of branch around there. That little music, that little jig that plays while you're there, oh, it's so soul soothing. It is just. It is straight vibes, and they're all happy, and I love it, and I could listen for hours.
Yeah, I have a work playlist of just kind of instrumental vibes that I like to listen to whenever I'm working and need something like that, and I immediately went to see if I could find the Kena soundtrack to just import directly into that playlist. I didn't find anything. I found like playlists of stuff that people had put together kind of inspired by it. I couldn't find that specifically, but whenever it does come out, it I need it because it is very, very good. And I love it to death.
Mm-mm, not on Apple Music.
Yeah, yeah.
This game is, it was my number one. We talked about our top upcoming games for the rest of the year. This was my number one. It checks every box. I love it. It is just a delight. I think there's plenty of room for a DLC for this game. Again, I don't know how sales are doing, but it definitely feels like a game that could do with, I think we're both nearing the end. We said that earlier, and it definitely feels like the end kind of is fast approaching. Yeah. And I feel like I'm being left wanting more. I feel like it's something that could have the DLC. I'm curious to see, because this is Ember Labs' first game that they've done. And they have done incredibly well. I would like to see this game feels like one where they're, will be a sequel to it, and the sequel will be better, which sounds like a lot to say off of a game that is so good as this one is. But again, you know, the game's 9-10 hours, doesn't do anything new, does it so well, and I love it. I feel like a 7-year-old again, which is, you know, great. And I feel like there is more for Kena to like move on from here and kind of have more adventures and a further story. Cause this, it does feel like she's been out and explored a bit, she does still feel a little, she's seasoned, but not super seasoned as being a spirit guide, you know?
Yeah.
And there is, I think, more to see from her and of her, because we haven't gotten a ton. I don't want to dive into it in case for spoilers for listeners as they're playing. But I think there's
some stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. She has some stuff. It's not really, at least at this point, isn't really tackled a ton, but you're at least given the framing that she has stuff going on. And like, you know, I mean, it's hard to say. I would, you know, I could see more from her, or, you know, it could be left at that. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Ember Labs has the talent, like regardless of how you feel about going into like Kena, even if you're the type of person where it doesn't really like do it for you. I mean, I think whatever they come out with next, whether it's a Kena 2 or something else, I mean, they obviously like to have this sort of outing right out of the gate is incredibly impressive, and they will make something, continue to make really wonderful things going forward. So yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things about it. Corey, is it, I mean, at this point, having played this, having played Deathloop, having played Ni No Kuni, having played, I mean, is this like your GOTY? Is this your, Kena game of the year, number one spot? Bing, bing.
I mean, we will have a game of the year discussion. It's definitely up there. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of new releases this year. But, I mean, it's...
You say that, Corey, but there have.
I mean, there hasn't, and now there is. Well, that's a better way to put it.
From January there to surprising like amount.
June. January to June, the first half of the year, it was quite thin, and now it's what almost launch and early this year should have been, had it not been for, you know, the global pandemic that we currently still reside in.
Yeah, but now we're starting to see a lot of, like, new, good, solid games that are coming out, and it's just, I mean, it has been a whirlwind, Corey, of game after game after game after game after game, and we can't handle it. It's just so many games. Oh my god.
There's a plethora right now. There's plenty of wanting to dig into, and that I will now. I think I will probably wrap up Kena tomorrow. I think I'm probably you know, less than an hour away from finishing. It sounds like you're even closer, kind of a thing. So
yeah, yeah, right around the same spot ish. Mm-hmm.
So I will wrap up tomorrow, and then I mean it is October when we're recording this now.
Yep,
it is full spooky season, yep. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I played a little bit of it, but I am itching to dig into Hollow Knight. Here over the next coming days and maybe weeks. It's kind of a long game, from my understanding.
Twenty to thirty hours, I guess, kind of depending on the amount of stuff that you do.
Yeah.
But sufficiently eerie, I think, is a good way of put. Like, it's not a horror game, and it's. But it's just, like, it does have some just, I think the combination of the music, the art style, the environments, like, it I think checks the boxes of being just kind of, like, generally eerie at times. Like, not necessarily, like, combination cozy, but not kind of in, like, a Tim Burton way.
Yeah, know? No, it gives me big, Nightmare Before Christmas, Coraline, all of those vibes.
I think it's a great choice. Yeah, that'll be the big... going forward through the rest of the month, like, you know, we're planning on having a Halloween-ish episode. Kind of talking about games, some horror games, but also just like, you know, I think it's worth addressing just like fall games, games that get you in a mood that is Halloween adjacent, even if it isn't like a horror game, talking about some of that stuff. I think Hollow Knight definitely falls into that category. I have plans to play through. My big one's Luigi's Mansion 3, which I started, never ended up actually making it through, but that, and then Alan Wake Remastered, and then maybe I'll actually finally get into Returnal.
Returnal is my other pick for the month.
Very creepy vibes.
It gives big creepy vibes. I do have a strong urge to dip back into Stardew Valley right now. So we'll see. Because, I mean, it's fall here. You know, it's 50s in the morning. It does get a little warm in the afternoons. But overall, we're having a fall for once in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I have strong urges to play Stardew Valley. But
I would endorse that, those urges. I've been playing since I got my Switch Lite. That so far has been the only thing that I've played on the Switch Lite. Just because with a bunch of the other stuff I've been playing, like, haven't really dug into a ton on the Switch proper I say Switch, like, there's a segmented category of games. I haven't really dug into anything that makes me want to play it on my TV. So playing something like Stardew Valley has been great. Start over. I wasn't aware of this until a few weeks ago when somebody that I follow on Instagram, they were doing a stream. There are massive parts of Stardew Valley that didn't exist whenever I played Stardew Valley before. Like,
there's a huge
new island, new just that, like, was content
earlier this year.
Yeah, just tons of stuff that maybe I'll get to. I don't know. Who knows? But it's worth trying because Stardew Valley is especially during the fall season, gives off pretty big fall vibes.
Big fall vibes.
Oh yeah. We'll have a Halloween episode later in the month, probably, you know, latter half, whether or not it's in the week leading up to Halloween, probably will be, but maybe the week before. Another announcement for our listeners. Next week we are going to not have a regular show. I'll be out of town, so the usual thing of you and me going back and forth over a campfire and mm-hmm. having just a lovely yeah. little conversation that, you know, we won't be doing that, but it's possible, you know, we're still kind of working some things out. May just have an off week, you know, give you guys a break, let you mull over what could mm-hmm. possibly be Halloween ooh, ooh. Goodness coming up. But Corey, you may end up
maybe
having a little bit of a
we'll see.
Little special episode of your own going yeah, on. And
maybe I have an idea or two, no promises. Just yeah. working out, kind of seeing where it's at, and might roll from there.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on it. It could be a quick little thing, maybe 20, 30 minutes. But yeah, I'm going to miss you next week, my guy.
Yeah. It's keep an eye out, look yeah. at your feed, see what's coming up. But Corey, Mr. Corey, where can listeners on the internet find you, sir?
You can find me on Instagram at @SlingingThrasher. On Twitter at Stay Thrashy, and you can find us on Twitter at Arcade Cozy. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think of the show. If you want us to talk about any games that you're really enjoying, feel free to tweet at us, DM us, whatever you want. More than happy to hear and see what y'all got going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where can we find you?
You can find me at 4pointpixel on Instagram. That's where I'm most active, of course. I plug my Twitter at SwissFonJoe, but that is where I'm significantly less active.
Hmm.
I like tweets on occasion, and we'll share
yeah.
things on occasion. But, you know, follow me on Instagram if you're really into just your up-to-date, you know, what's going on.
I love your
me.
Page.
Man,
you know,
yeah,
I am obliged to say that, but also I say that out of like pure like
out of,
enjoyment,
out of love, not out of
is very
loyalty,
aesthetically just, pleasing.
Yeah, but yeah, we're Arcade Cozy. We are the
hey,
we're just
episode 10, man.
We're just out here vibing, just having a good time, and
the vibes
we
are
in the double digits,
immaculate
now,
as the youths yes. love to say.
but this was fun. It was a nice, fun.
It's been a good week,
you know, trimmed. Yeah. We, you know, little uneventful, but as we go into the end of the year, you know, we're not going to have most of our episodes are going to be packed full constantly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to have a little bit of something that's, small and chill.
Yeah.
So.
It's good. It's really good.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well,
we will not see you next week. I mean, I'll talk to you plenty between now and our next recording, but I guess, listeners, we will see y'all in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
See both of us together in 2 weeks. You may yeah. see Corey sooner, but...
You might see me sooner. Least. We will see. Yeah. No promises. Yeah,
who knows?
I do have an idea. We'll see if it comes to fruition.
But, yeah, as always, have a good week. We enjoyed it. We love
yes.
having you here mm-hmm. with us. We will talk to you soon.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye.
All righty.
Love you, dude.
Bye-bye.